Our sister station in Philadelphia, WHYY, is producing a new podcast called The Why, blending news gathering with great storytelling. WBGO and WHYY State House reporter Joe Hernandez joins the show's hosts, Shai Ben-Yaakov and Annette John Hall, for an update on the Campbell Soup Company in Camden.
Joe, I happen to be a lifelong fan of the cream of mushroom, so I'm very familiar with that product, maybe chicken noodle a little bit, but can you give me a brief history of Campbell Soup?
Yeah, it started about 150 years ago in Camden. This guy, Joseph Campbell, and an associate started it. And they were kind of like food merchants, and their first three products were French peas, fancy asparagus, and tomatoes. Yeah.
Mm. What exactly is fancy asparagus?
I think it's just really great asparagus. I have no idea what it is.
Since the beginning, it's been based in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's been based in Camden, and Joseph Campbell started it, but he handed it off to a guy named Arthur Dorrance after Campbell retired. And then it was Dorrance's nephew, if you could follow that, John Dorrance, who really made Campbell's what it is.
Good.
He developed condensed soup early in the 20th century. He was a mathematician and a chemist.
Johnny came calling one Sunday. The girl of his dreams was so sweet. She served him some wonderful dishes, but he found the meal incomplete.
No soup?
And he kind of came up with this idea, and that's really what propelled Campbell's to becoming a really big food company. Not only that, but also kind of a cultural icon. It became one of the biggest employers in South Jersey as well. It had a factory in Camden for a really long time, not anymore, but it was kind of a company town, and RCA and Campbell's were the two major employers in the city.
Oh, what a wailing and sighing.
Oh, what shall I do, Mother dear? Just reach for some soup from the soup shelf. You'll soon have your Johnny back here.
Did someone say soup?
So something happened earlier this year that is really shaking up the company. What happened back in May?
So in May, Denise Morrison, who was the CEO, retired kind of abruptly. Nobody really knew it was coming, and it was announced suddenly, and there wasn't exactly a succession plan in place, so there's been an interim CEO since then. And before that, a little bit before that, Campbell's was not performing as well as some people were hoping. The share price was underperforming. The company was going through some financial struggles.
It's abundantly clear to me that the company is in need of greater focus and discipline. We have to run Campbell with a much tougher set of operating and financial standards.
Didn't they buy the pretzel company? What was the
They name? Did.
Despite our execution challenges, during the year we completed the acquisition of Snyder's Lance,
which is just this giant snack company. So you know Snyder's of Hanover, that's the pretzels. Lance is those like little plastic packages of peanut butter crackers. And
I actually like those.
Those things are good.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're nice to have. And Campbell's bought it for about $5 billion, with a B.
The largest transaction in the company's history, which expands and strengthens our position in the growing snacks category.
Obviously not cash up front. It had to borrow money. But the problem is, since then, Snyder's Lance hasn't been, again, this is kind of a theme with Campbell's, performing as well as they were hoping. And also, they took out a ton of money to buy this thing, so they're going to be paying that back for a while.
We must further reduce costs and increase our asset efficiency to reflect the leaner, more focused, and agile enterprise we are building.
Soup for lunch is nutritious.
Yes, you are my favorite date.
So in the wake of the departure of the CEO comes this guy, Dan Loeb. Who is Dan Loeb?
When you talk about activism, you're really talking about shareholders and their ownership rights.
Dan Loeb is a hedge fund manager. He runs a hedge fund called Third Point, and he is what many people, you know, in Wall Street, in that kind of financial world, would call an activist investor. And so what he does is he sees a company that's underperforming, performing poorly in his view. He buys a bunch of shares in it, and then he aggressively goes after the company.
The activist doesn't control the company. He has a stake of generally somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 10%. Nowadays, it can even be less. But what he does have is ideas and the ability to articulate those ideas and defend them and debate them with the board.
So Dan Loeb, earlier this year, bought about 7% of Campbell's
Right.
Soup.
Right.
And in doing that, he, because he bought that large a share, he had to file with the Securities and Exchange Commission, right?
Right. So when you buy a certain amount of stock in a company, you have to file this form with the SEC. And like many forms on the SEC database, at first blush, it looks boring. But Dan Loeb, when he files a form with the SEC, I mean, it is raw. He is aggressive. He said Campbell's has abysmal leadership. He spent the entire thing kind of laying out his case against the company and saying, the reason I bought this 7% share in the company is because they're doing pretty bad right now, and I want to get involved in the conversation and increase the stock price so that shareholders will make more money off Campbell's.
We've brought a sense of accountability to companies that we've been involved in at a minimum.
I mean, this is not the first time he's done this. He did it with Sotheby's. The auction house, he's done it with other companies. He gets in there and he becomes the loudest voice in the room and says, here's what's wrong. And he hammers the point over and over again. And the reason it works is because his point of view starts to get into the public conversation about these companies, and people, maybe other shareholders, start thinking, hey, this guy's got a point. Campbell's could be returning more money to me. I want to be making money off this company, not just watching it kind of go down the tubes. So I'm going to side with Dan Loeb and whatever he wants to do.
So why is Dan Loeb doing this?
I mean, at the basic level, it's to increase profits for people who have shares in Campbell's. That could include job cuts. That could include selling off parts of the company. That could include selling the whole company. And it's a very specific constituency there that he's after, the shareholders, and increasing the value for them.
And so part of the way he makes his point is through these splashy kind of promotional campaigns that he does. I looked at one and boy, oh boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad.
It looks like a movie trailer or a TV commercial or something. It's pretty wild.
$1 invested 20 years ago in Campbell would only be worth $1.19.
But there are still some Campbell's family members on the board, correct?
We should say these are Dorrance family members.
Okay.
There are a couple Dorrance family members on the board, and there are others who own large shares in the company. Two in particular own about a little over 30% of the company.
This week, Dan Loeb and Campbell's reached an agreement. It's sort of truce for now. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so I mean, at first, back when Dan Loeb first got involved, he was kind of preaching, let's sell Campbell. Maybe we just need to sell the company and get somebody in there who can rejuvenate it or just make money for shareholders. And then ultimately he said, I want to get 5 seats on the 12-member board. Now, that was going to happen this week at Campbell's annual meeting. Well, shareholders were going to be able to vote either for the board members that Campbell's wanted or the board members that Dan Loeb wanted. And I guess Campbell's kind of saw this and saw maybe that Loeb was getting some traction. And ultimately, the two sides agreed to put 2 of Loeb's nominees on the board and give Loeb a say in a third nominee as well as in the search for a new CEO, because they still have that interim position there.
So it does give him some influence over the direction of the company.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. In board meetings, he's going to have people there who kind of maybe espouse his point of view. And we don't know who the new CEO is yet, so that person could be more in the Dan Loeb camp of thinking versus in the old way of Campbell's.
What would the weakening or folding of Campbell's Soup mean for the city of Camden, where it's been basically since the beginning?
Well, Campbell's has kind of had this trajectory in Camden, and it started as kind of a small company. It grew to be a really large and relevant company, not only in Camden. I mean, it was in Camden. It had this big factory there. It employed tons of people. Lots of immigrants worked in the factory there back when they, you know, cut onions and tomatoes by hand for soup. And then Campbell's Campbell's closed the factory there. Now its world headquarters is there, but it's not as big a presence as it once was. So it could mean, you know, job cuts in some of the factories elsewhere. It could also mean job cuts at the headquarters. Campbell's has a lot of people working at its headquarters in Camden. It only has about a dozen Camden residents working there now. But it could mean job cuts there.
You can hear the entire The Why podcast by going to whyy.org, or you can listen Monday through Thursday at 5:45 p.m. on WHYY-FM or anytime wherever you listen to podcasts.